International transformation and success coach Myrna Morris Young delivers life-changing strategies as the host of the Mindset Transformations radio show and podcast. Myrna shares these strategies from success achieved in her own personal journey and by interviewing other best-selling authors and coaches. Each show gives you practical tips on living your best life now by changing your mindset to change your life. I am grateful that you have tuned in today from all over the world. I believe that the Spirit of God led you here so that you can receive insight, revelation, and knowledge to see the next step in front of you as God reveals his purpose and destiny in your life. And now, here's Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation radio show and podcast. I am your host, Coach Myrna. And today, I want to teach you 7 ways to get unstuck in your life. You see, whenever you're stuck, you're feeling that going forward is painful, going back is painful, and staying in your current situation is painful. So you have no hope. Now, one of the ways to get unstuck is to look into the universe, have faith that God will bring you through this, have faith that this is not what you're meant to create. But I want to have you listen to this recording that one of the ways that I feel that you can get stuck is by listening to wrong counsel. So I will go ahead and play this for you, and then I will come right back.
Spoken. The less you associate with some people, the more your life will improve. Anytime you tolerate mediocrity in others, it increases your mediocrity. An important attribute in successful people is their impatience with negative thinking and negative acting people. As you grow, your associates will change. Some of your friends will not want you to go on. They will want you to stay where they are. Friends that don't help you climb will want you to crawl. Your friends will stretch your vision or choke your dream. Those that don't increase you will eventually decrease you. Consider this. Never receive counsel from unproductive people. Never discuss your problems with someone incapable of contributing to the solution, because those who never succeed themselves are always first to tell you how. Not everyone has a right to speak into your life. You are certain to get the worst of the bargain when you exchange ideas with the wrong person. Don't follow anyone who's not going anywhere. With some people, you spend an evening. With others, you invest it. Be careful where you stop to inquire for directions along the road of life. Wise is the person who fortifies his life with the right friendships. If you run with wolves, you will learn how to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn how to soar to great heights. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. The simple but true fact of life is that you become like those with whom you closely associate, for the good and the bad. Note, be not mistaken. This is applicable to family as well as friends. Yes, do love, appreciate, and be thankful for your family, for they will always be your family, no matter what. Just know that they are human first, and though they are family to you, they may be a friend to someone else and will fit somewhere in the criteria above. In prosperity, our friends know us. In adversity, we know our friends. Never make someone a priority when you are only an option for them. If you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception. It is a prevailing attitude.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna. And as the recording that you just listened to mentioned, that you should only accept counsel from people that are going somewhere or people that has been strategically placed in your life. Like a coach, like a pastor, like a successful friend. You know, one of the books that I love talks about if you see someone that's doing something, invite them out to lunch. See what it is that they're doing so that you can copy it, because success leaves clues. So today, I'm going to teach you 7 ways to get unstuck in your life. Now, one of the ways the recording was talking about is to make sure that you're not being led astray by unsuccessful people that keep you anchored in not going anywhere. Now, I believe personally, as a woman, that one of the worst negative feelings, in my opinion, is the feeling of being stuck in your current situation. I define stuckness as moving forward or back looks worse than staying in the misery of your current situation. It is a place of no personal power, a place that I hate to be, and I've really never ever been, because I've always had options. I live my life so that I never be stuck. You know, they also say that the life you're living today is because of choices you made 10 years ago. So every day I make sure that I make choices that would not have me stuck with no place to go. I have options. Now, a few months back, I received a note on LinkedIn from a young lady who said that she was stuck. The note that she sent me transferred such pain deep within my soul that I stopped what I was doing and I called her back immediately and offered her free coaching sessions, because I know from her note that she couldn't afford to pay. And this was her story. She was in an abusive relationship with a young man. She was not married to him. It was her boyfriend. And she had a 2-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. She says her boyfriend was physically and mentally abusive to her, both her and her daughter. And she feared most times for her life. She was so tired of fighting that she became a pleaser. And even when she became a pleaser, she would still get beaten. She finally had the courage to leave that situation. She packed up her bags, and she moved from Florida, where she was living with her boyfriend, to Atlanta, because that's where her sisters lived. You see, her mom died, and didn't ask her about her dad, but she said that she didn't have any parents, and she only had sisters, and they were in Atlanta. So she quit her job, moved to Atlanta, but now she was feeling stuck because she was considering moving back, because she said that her sisters didn't have enough for themselves, and here she and her daughter was taking what little they had. She said that her sisters both were unemployed and their spouses were taking care of them, and they had 6 children each. So she felt like an imposition. So I said to her, right away, because I'm a coach, and I realize that sometimes, not all the times, but most times when a woman is living in an abusive relationship, even though anybody from the outside can't see it, that woman still loves that man. So know what it is. It's life. And one of the reasons they go back is because that love pulls them back, and they hope that things might be different. So one of the first questions I asked her when she told me, before I even started counseling her and anything else, one of the first questions I asked her is, do you still love this man? And she said, yes. So I brought her attention to what I think her brain was doing. I said, your brain wants you to go back to that situation because you love this man and you miss him. And whatever it is he does for you that make you love him, outside of the fact that he's physically and mentally abusive, obviously he's doing something good in between those times that makes her love him, and that's what she's wanting to go back to. So I said, that's what your brain is doing. Your brain is making this situation that you're in with your sisters intolerable, and it's telling you that the solution is going back. But you know that you shouldn't go back. You know that either you or your daughter can end up dead, because you never know when an abusive situation is going to get out of hand. So I asked her, what exactly do you think that you're taking from your sisters? I said, I am only seeing space. They're not going out and renting another house so that you can have an apartment, a room. They're not spending any more money. You're just taking up space. And they're family. And family is someplace that you run to when you need help. And true family would always give you some of what they've got. That's the definition of family. So I said to her, your sisters would prefer to give you a room in a corner than have you go back to that situation and end up dead. But I said, listen, do you have any money? She said she has some savings. I says, okay, well, then in order to make yourself feel better about the situation, buy yourself your own food, right? Food doesn't cost much anymore. You can go to McDonald's and get a meal for $5. So I said, go and buy your own food, and after you're settled in with that situation and you're not feeling this pressing need to return to something that you know is not right for you, then we can look at the future. She said, okay. So then I said, okay, let's talk about what are you qualified for? How many of you know or can feel her pain right now? How many of you are empathetic enough to put yourself in her situation and feel how terrible it is to be stuck in a situation like that? Nowhere to go. Going back is bad. Where you are is bad. And you're not having much hope for the future, right? So it could be anything that's making us stuck. It could be a domestic situation like this one. It could be an intolerable boss that makes your life miserable every time you go to work and you wake up in the morning and you have this huge pit in your stomach, but you gotta go because you have a family to feed. It could be a demeaning job. Maybe nothing is wrong with your boss, but you're cleaning toilets or you're sweeping the streets or you're doing something that you consider demeaning. Doesn't mean that these jobs are demeaning. A situation is only what you think about it. So it could be a demeaning job. But that's the only one you can get, so you took it, right? So how do you make the decision to move forward? How do you find the strength to want something better? How did I coach to this situation? Like I said, I first found the good feeling. I got her out of the negative spiral, the negative vibrations, because when you're in that space, when you're in that negative vortex, you can't see up. You're in that valley. You can't see anything but feel the pain of the current situation. So once I got her feeling a little better, then we were able to make plans for the future. Again, that's a major benefit of coaching. The ability of the coach to see the frame. You see, you can't see the frame when you are the picture. Okay? So I said to her, how are you, you know, what are you qualified to do? And that's when she tells me that she has a job interview for the next day, that she is qualified as a human resources specialist, and that's a good job. That's a job that you can plant anywhere because every company has a human resource department. So then I said to her, you can't go into that interview with negative energy because the person will sense your desperation. You have to prepare for that interview. You have to go in there thinking only of positive things. You have to go in there, be prepared to answer the questions, be prepared to shine. You can't shine when you're wallowing in self-pity. So we went on, and we prepared her for that interview. And the good news is that not only did she get the job, she stayed in Atlanta, and she's working on her new life. So that was one story of how you can get stuck in a situation and how there's always hope. There's always a better feeling that you can reach for, regardless of how small it is. She could have reached for the feeling of how beautiful her daughter is and how glad that her daughter is safe and nothing has happened to her and how glad that she still has her daughter. A lot of families get their children taken away from them when they're in a domestic violence situation or can't tend for their children. So you can reach for the small hope, the small good feeling, anything that makes you feel better, that puts you in a different vibrational frequency. So that, my friends, is the first secret to getting unstuck. You have to have hope, and you have to have faith. Faith that God can make a way out of no way. Faith that even though you can't see the entire staircase, you know that the stairs are there. The message of faith is in the story that you can't think that God intended for you to live in an abusive home, being dependent on an abusive man for your survival. You have to be able to get out of the valley and see the light at the mountaintop. You have to know in your heart that you were meant for more, to be more, and you have to want more for your children. Once you find positive energy, things will begin to open up. Opportunities will come your way. God will open doors shut by the devil and by your negative emotions. Because whenever you think about what you don't want, whatever you think about your bad life, what do you think of all the bad things that are happening to you, what you're doing is attracting more. The only way to attract positivity or to attract goodness or to attract abundance or to attract light is to be light, to be grateful for what you have, to think positive, and to have faith. So, we're going to take a quick station break, and we'll be right back with the second way to get unstuck in your life. Be right back.
Welcome to Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your most gracious host, Coach Myrna. And today, I am teaching you 7 ways to get unstuck in your life. The first way we talked about is having hope and faith and finding the strength to reach for the better feeling, not the best, but any feeling that is better than the one that you're currently having when you're feeling stuck. The second way to get an unstuck is to move that energy around. The universe is made up of energy. We are a bundle of energy. When you have stuck energy, it not only causes disease, but also it causes you to sit on the couch like a lump of coal. You don't have the energy because your energy is stuck. You don't have the energy. You don't feel like doing anything. You don't feel like going anywhere. But you have to force yourself to get off that couch. You have to do something, anything. Go for a walk, clean the house, call somebody, go on the internet. You got to do something. Do it until you feel like doing it. People are always talking, but they're not motivated to do this. They're not motivated to do what? Do that. But guess what? If you do it anyway, sooner or later, you're going to get past that blockage and you're going to be motivated. So do the things you don't feel like doing until you feel like doing it. Another client of mine got fired from his job. So he sat around all day with hurt feelings, blaming his boss, blaming his friends, not feeling support. He gave him all his energy. He put his life on the line every day, and these people did not support him. And every moment he got, he talked about it, recreating it. You know what? You have to get over it so that you can get on with it. Don't let tragedy destroy you. This life is always going to have challenges. You are going to have challenges until you're dead, because that's the only time that you're not going to have challenges. So don't stop. Continue to stay busy. Continue to work your plan. Take small steps if you can't take big steps. Be conscious of the automatic negative thoughts that don't take any effort on your part. They come naturally, like weeds in your garden. But if you want to grow rose bushes or orchids in that garden, you know that it takes special effort. You know that it's a process. Similarly, being stuck in something like what someone did to you is natural. Feeling angry when your kids are ungrateful for the sacrifices that you made for them is natural. Being tired after working at your job, being fired after working at your job for 10 years, never taking time off to go to your kids' soccer matches or dance recitals, your kids grew up without you being there because you were committed to that job and that company. And they fired you after 10 years. So what are you going to do? What job are you going to look for? You know, it's natural to get angry. Feeling vengeful at the betrayal of your spouse is natural. Nobody's saying that you're a saint. Nobody's saying that you're a robot. Nobody's saying that you shouldn't get angry. No one is saying that you probably want something to knock that spouse down somewhere. But it's natural to be angry, hurt, disappointed, vengeful. But it's extremely important not to stay there. You know what they say? Being hurt or being spiteful or being angry or being vengeful at someone else is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So when you're bitter and you keep drinking that bitter pill every day and thinking about it and replaying it in your mind, it's worse for you. That person is going on with their life, not even thinking about you. And you are spending a whole lot of time thinking about them. It affects you, not them. You're the one that gets sick. You're the one that gets diseases. So feel your pain and move on with it. Don't get stuck. It's extremely important not to get stuck with your negative emotions. You have to get over it and move on. Because guess what? You keep being stuck in those negative emotions, and the next job you get, you get fired too. Because that's basically what you're attracting. You keep telling all those things to come directly to you because you're calling them by thinking about them all the time. Okay? So number three, seek the counsel of others when you feel stuck. That's basically what the recording I played for you at the beginning of the show was telling you to do. When my friend on LinkedIn called me because she saw that I was a coach, what she did was good. She knew that I was qualified to speak in her life. She knew that I should have the answers if I'm calling myself a coach. She received counsel and got a fresh perspective on her problem. Even if she did not heed my advice, she moved the energy around by doing something, picking up the phone and making a call. That's all you needed to do. That's all she needed to do. It could be, you know, when I was growing up, they said you can seek the counsel of elders. Elders are supposed to be wise. If you have a pastor, that's what he's there for. You go and you have a session with him, and he will tell you the biblical way to get over your problem, because the Bible is a blueprint. Any answers you need is right in there. It's not always clear, because the Bible is written in parables, but the pastor can decipher it. The pastor's had experience with spiritual energy. He's had experience with previous problems like yours. It's not the first time he would have seen your problem, and he's got good counsel for you. So, seek the counsel of others, not necessarily friends, because as the recording said, sometimes if friends like you were exactly where you are, because if you're beneath them, they feel more powerful. We all know the story. Show me your friends, and I'll show you who your enemies are. They're not always your friends. So don't really seek the counsel of your friends until you have determined that they are indeed going somewhere. They're living a life that you want to follow. And then you can ask them for advice. Number four, find peace with the situation if you can't or wouldn't move right now. It's not always the right time. You can be stuck in a situation. You have four children. The man is beating you. You don't want to go to a shelter. But you're making plans. You're making plans by having an education. You're making plans to get a job. You're making plans to go to your mom. You go to your friends. You have to make plans. You didn't just get up and leave the very moment that somebody hits you. You make plans. And while you're in that process of creating an alternative, you find peace with the situation. One of the ways to do this is to recite the Serenity Prayer 3 times a day. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. One of the first things they taught me in coaching school is that you can't coach someone that's not right in front of you. Why was this so important? Because 90% of the coaches that come into the coaching conversation is blaming someone else for the mess that they're in. Someone else is the cause of their problem. But the only person that can change is the coachee. The only person that can change is you. You have absolutely no control over the behavior of someone else. Even when you tell them they're doing wrong, even when you show them they're doing wrong, even when you show them what they're doing to you, how you feel about it, you can give them books to read. You can do everything in your power. You can't make them change. My grandmother used to say, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. I remember a sermon that I heard from my first pastor. He said that whenever he felt like complaining about his wife, he would pray and ask God to change him. He can't pray God and ask to change his wife. Even God can't to influence his wife. He's got to change him. God works with you directly, not with anyone else. So when you're praying to him for something, you need to pray for yourself. If you're standing in the gap for someone else, I can understand that. But when you're praying for something to change in your life, you got to talk directly to God. Open communication between you and him. So, for example, if you're stuck for the moment in a job at a bad boss, change the way you look at the bad things he or she does. If he or she talks to you with disrespect, you can tell yourself it is not personal, and it usually isn't. He or she speaks to everyone like that because they don't know any better. Tell yourself, if he talks to only you with disrespect, because you feel and you have good reason to feel this, that he doesn't like you or he's trying to make you quit, you can tell yourself that he or she doesn't know you. Because all they see is the person who comes to work. And they don't really know you. They know the job you do at work. But they don't know you personally. They don't know you as an individual outside of your office. So you have every right to say they don't know you. If they don't like you, they're just seeing the person at work from 9 to 5. They don't really know who you are. So you let the words not penetrate your consciousness. Don't take offense to them. He can talk, but you do not translate. You do not take it into your subconscious. You do not let the anger respond to it. Let it be just noise. Think of it that he's speaking Spanish and you don't understand what he's saying. Because language is all about translation. People will be just talking noise and you don't understand a word. Let it be like that. It is possible not to let someone push your buttons. It is possible. This is a simple example, but it works with anything. It is also called the law of allowing. And it especially works in intimate relationships. When you stop resisting and allow your partner the freedom to self-express, you open up the path towards healing the brokenness and allow the relationship to become healthy. Concentrate only in what you are doing and saying. Stop reacting to stimuli and watch what happens. You will see the whole universe open up. You say that this person is not responsible for my happiness. I am fully responsible for my happiness, and all I need to do is choose a different thought. Because guess what? It's always how you feel about a thing that makes it so. It's never the thing, right? One person can respond that this person is disrespectful, and another person doesn't see it. Because it's always your ego that gets in the way, that tells you this stuff. It's always perception. So choose a different thought, and a different feeling would emerge. Number 5. Another technique is to notice when you are stuck and distract yourself. You know, my daughter had a boyfriend that keeps getting stuck on things that she would have done. He keeps getting stuck. If she were to say something to him that he did not like, he can argue about it for days. It's actually a brain function. And whenever he got stuck, you know where her job was? To distract him. His mom did the same thing. Distract him. Because he will run you crazy about the simplest things because he didn't have the ability to let it go and move forward. So that's one way to deal with a brain malfunction of being stuck. Distract your children. They get stuck a lot. Distract your partner if they're stuck. Distract your coworkers. But when it is that you're stuck, there's a couple ways to do that. Distract yourself. Move, do something, go somewhere, call someone. Watch a movie where you don't have to think. Watch television, read a book, take a bath. Come back to the problem later. It'll probably still be there. But just come back to the problem later. You can do some mental work. What are your options? What are your solutions? Write them down. Get a piece of paper and brainstorm. Write out all your options and what you think the solutions are. You don't have to pick them. The universe will do that for you. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you'll wake up and you have the answer. If you can't make a decision. So write it out. You know, one of the options is, what do you want to do about it? Maybe that's not what you are going to do about it, but what would you like to do about it? Write what you can or cannot control about it. Again, we talked about that already. You can have a situation where you're doing everything that you can do, but the other person is not cooperating. You can't control it. So what are you going to do about it? We talked about this already. Choose a different thought. Maybe choose a different path. Come at it from a different angle. What is it you can do? What are your options? Number 6, and to me, this is one of the most important ones, is your thoughts. Whatever you're stuck or not thinking makes it so. The thoughts that matter most are your self-thoughts, that dialogue that goes on in your head, consciously and unconsciously. I understand that we have about 5 voices in our head. Everyone telling us something different. You got to be able to find out the one that you should follow. It is never the situation that causes you to be stuck, but your thoughts and feelings about the situation that makes you stuck. Your thoughts influence your emotions. So to get unstuck, think differently, and you will feel differently. Sometimes how you think someone should respond to you blocks your blessing. If you move yourself and your ego out of the way, then maybe God can give you what he has in store for you. let's look at the Bible story of Naaman. Naaman was angry because the prophet did not come out and greet and bow down to him when he came to him to heal his leprosy. You see, Naaman was a top man in the army and well respected and honored. And you know, in the army, everyone salutes and bows down to you and say, yes, sir, yes, sir. And he thought that that's who he was. So when the prophet, instead of coming out and standing on ceremony and greeting him, just sent his messenger out to tell Naaman to go wash himself in the River Jordan 7 times and he will be healed of his leprosy, Naaman went away angry because he felt disrespected. That word again. He said, who is he that he can't even come out and greet me? I thought that he was going to come out and lay his hand on me and talk to his God and swing his hand in the air and I would be clean. Well, you have a lot of faith. But how many of you know that when you have expectations, you're usually disappointed? Expectations in anything. You feel that this is how you should be treated. And when someone doesn't treat you that way, you are disappointed. Causes so many problems in relationships. So Naaman went away fuming. But guess what? He was smart enough to listen to his servant. And his servant said to him, what have you got to lose? Why don't you just follow the instructions? And he decided, you're right. What have I got to lose? So he went and dipped himself in the River Jordan 7 times. And guess what? He came out perfectly clean. Perfectly clean. And Naaman almost missed his blessing by reacting to what he considered disrespect. How many of you can identify? You got fired from your job for reacting to something that you thought was disrespect. Right? You missed your blessing. Some of you are just stuck because of poisonous thinking. Your thoughts can poison your spirit. And then you never see positivity, only negativity. I'm pretty sure you know some people like that. All they talk about is negative stuff. They always see the glass half empty instead of it being half full. It's in their spirit. They keep going back to the past and saying nothing good ever comes of anything. Everybody is a liar. Everybody is a crook. Everybody is out to get me. And guess what? They're usually right. I remember this story of this monk that people would come to him and they would say, you know, the first guy came to him and says, what kind of people live here? He was thinking of moving. And the monk said to him, what kind of people lived where you were coming from? And he says, they're all a bunch of big fat liars. And the monk says, well, that's exactly what you find here. The second man comes up and he says, hey, I'm thinking of moving. What kind of people you think live here? The monk said, what kind of people live where you're coming from? He said, they're all a bunch of thieves. And he says, that's exactly what you'll find here. Third guy comes and he says, hey, monk. What kind of people live here? I'm thinking of moving. The monk says, what kind of people live where you're coming from? He says, oh, they're all sweet and beautiful and generous and full of community. And the monk said, that's exactly the type of people that is here, that lives here. He says, okay, great. What this story points out, that however you see people is what's going to show up. Napoleon Hill says it like this, as a man thinketh, so is he. Shakespeare puts it quite another way. He says, nothing either is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So guard your thoughts. Guard the garden of your mind. Don't let negative thoughts grow in there as weeds, because they would snuff out all your light, and the flowers can't grow. The flowers can't get the light. You leave the weeds unattended, and they grow extremely fast. Before you know it, you're just laying around on the couch having a pity party. Guard your thoughts. And finally, you have to know yourself to grow yourself. But before we get into that one, let's take another quick station break, and we'll be right back with the final segment of our show today.
If you are listening to this broadcast, it means that you are hungry for growth, hungry for change, hungry for insights, revelation, and knowledge. Whatever you need in your life, you will receive it today. For the past 20 years, Myrna has been an entrepreneur. As past CEO of Royal Livery Limousine Service and now CEO of MyHelps Coaching and Consulting Services, Myrna has achieved good success. Awarded Entrepreneur of the Year, Myrna knows what it takes to help you be successful. Myrna helps her coaching clients to design a practical plan to close the gap of where they are today and where they would like to be tomorrow. In business, relationships, health, or career goals. That is why Myrna is offering a free one-hour strategy session valued at $150, totally free. No strings attached. If you are listening right now, go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contact.us. And sign up now for a free session with Coach Myrna. She has helped business owners and other clients just like you overcome their obstacles and set them on a path to success. Take advantage of this offer today. Go to www.MyrnaYoungHelps.com/contactus.us right now.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your host, Coach Myrna, and we have been talking today about 7 ways to get yourself unstuck in life. Because you have to have movement. You have to be going somewhere. You can't be stuck. So it's very important to follow some principles in order to move your energy around. And the last one we're going to talk about today, the 7th principle, is you have to know yourself to grow yourself. You have to know where your pattern started. You have to make the connection between your old story and your current circumstances. Example, if your mother gave you up for adoption and you're always feeling this abandonment, and this feeling of abandonment is keeping you stuck in low self-esteem. Why did she give me away? Was something wrong with me? Was I ugly? Did I cry too much? She didn't love me because I'm unlovable. You should know that the past has nothing to do with your future. You know better that you're not your mom. And she had her reasons that you know nothing about. The deepest truth is that you're responsible for your life and not what someone else did to you. You have to make the shift and take responsibility. You have to know that this feeling of self-esteem or low self-esteem is what's keeping you and getting you into these situations. Because you're making decisions that you're looking for security. Awareness is the key to any change. That's what coaches do. They bring awareness to your blind spots, because most of us can't see these things. And when your spouse tells you, you don't take any heed. When your friends tell you, you don't take any heed. You take the advice from someone that has no benefit from the outcome. So, you need a coach. If you can't look at your patterns objectively, what are you blaming? What is your pattern? What is the evidence of your pattern? I had a coaching client that had 3 failed marriages where the men ended up stealing from her. You know how impossible that is? 3 men where when she divorced from them, they took her money and stole from her. We had to find her pattern and why she was attracting and falling in love with the same type of man. So we looked at her past. We looked at where her pattern started. We discovered that she loved and admired how her dad took care of her mom and paid all the bills. She had a good role model, and she wanted to duplicate that. So whenever she was looking for a mate, she was looking for a man that can be like her dad, a man that can pay the bills, a man that can take care of her and treat her like his queen. There's nothing wrong with that. All women look for that. But when you make it your focal point and pigeonhole it, a lot of times you attract just the opposite. Because life is all about opposites. You can't know good until you've known bad. You can't know hot until you've known cold. You can't know light until you know what darkness is. So what happened to her is looking for a man to give her security. She ended up looking for a man that wanted a woman to give him security. So ended up looking for a woman that had something to give him, and the relationship obviously would not work out because they're both coming into it with wrong expectations. And it ended up fizzling out. And the men end up taking her money because that's what they wanted. So she had to learn to create a new pattern. She had to go inside and use her feminine power of intuition. All women have it. And pick a mate. She had to listen to her inner desires and not her outer desire for material things. And when she shifted her pattern and created a new one, she actually acquired her goal. Isn't that how life works? Now she's in a relationship where the man sends her flowers all the time, where he takes care of her, and all she had to do is let it go and let the universe pick. Now she tells me that she's in the best relationship of her life. She describes it as touching the moon because it feels so good. And that, my friends, is how you get unstuck. You reach for that beautiful feeling. In wrapping up, I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Mindset Transformations radio show with me, your host, Coach Myrna. It was just me and you today. But every week, I interview guests that can speak into your life, guests who can help you move that needle to reach for a better feeling, to reach for a better life, to reach for a goal, to reach for prosperity, to reach for success. And that's what we do here on the Mindset Transformations Radio Show. Because normally, in order to move the needle, you have to change the mindset about some limiting belief. So tune in next week at this same time if you would like to listen to one of my past recordings. All my shows are on my YouTube channel. Look for it under My Helps, which is MYHELPS. The shows are also on my personal website, MyrnaYoungHelps.com, under video blogs. And that's MyrnaYoungHelps.com. If you would like to be a guest on the Mindset Transformation Radio Show, you can email me at info@myhelps.us or call me at 866-569-3182. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and I want to let you know that God loves you.